Now, the Bible does say, don't let sin. And one of the sins I was thinking about as I prepared today was the sin of unforgiveness. Don't let unforgiveness separate you from the Lord, from time with God. You know, God hears us. But don't be upset that as he hears us, he turns back and asks us to go forgive somebody or to go deal with something that's in our hearts. Because sometimes when you come before the Lord and you're in his presence, he may remind you that there's something you need to do. We see that in Mark 11, 25. These are the words of Jesus. He says, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins. There are things that we have responsibility for. God forgives us, freely forgives us, but he asks us also to forgive others. Unforgiveness can be a sin that hinders us in our time with the Lord and our prayers before God. So when we ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything in my life? The Lord says, I need you to forgive such and such or somebody. Do it. Do it right away. Let there be nothing that hinders your time with God, that comes between you and God and hinders your prayers. I don't know, but I think about this sometimes with children. Little examples like this, and this is kind of a childlike example. But maybe you can relate to this. Children always have desires and want-tos, right? You were a child one day. You had want-tos. But you also had responsibilities. So what happened when you wanted the want-to before the responsibility? Now, your parents would probably say, well, I hear that you want to, but have you done your homework? Have you done your chore? Have you forgiven your sister for what she did because you guys were having an argument earlier? Whatever it may be. That's a childlike example, but sometimes, from a parent's perspective, I have no problem most of the time with my children's want-tos. But oftentimes, I want to know, did they take care of some responsibilities? Because it was important to the family. It was important to them. It was important to the whole family. You know, forgiving others is like a responsibility. And we need to do that. As we mature, we forgive more freely. As we mature in the Lord, forgiveness becomes easier. And I think we can do it more freely and more quickly. Because we don't want anything. You see, when you get that sensitivity before God, you don't want anything to come between you and God. And when I'm saying sensitivity, you feel that cleansing of the Lord on you. And so when you're watching a movie and they blaspheme the name of God, it quickens your spirit to say, oh, I don't like that. That's not good. They just blasphemed the name of my Lord and Savior. They just dishonored his name. There's a sensitivity that comes to you. I don't want to watch movies that blaspheme the name of the Lord. If I know that, I'm not watching it. I don't know if you have that same conviction, but I've gotten to the point where that does something to my spirit. I say, no, Lord, no, thank you. I don't want that unclean thing in my heart. I don't want to even hear it. Now, you can't control everything in the world around you, but you can keep your heart clean and you can keep your heart right before the Lord. Why won't I look at something that is unclean or do something that I know, no, Lord, that's not going to please you. That's not honoring you. And I start living my life in such a way before God that says, you know what? I'm not going to do things of old or past. I'm going to change the way I do things. And so we want to keep our hearts clean. We want to keep it pure. So we are quick to do things and avoid things that we know can be a hindrance to us in our walk with God. The more we mature in the Lord, the more we want to please God. We want to please Him. We want to honor Him. And the more I mature in the Lord, the less selfish I become. It's not all about me. I hope we've all learned that, right? It's not all about me. And that's a good thing. That's a freeing thing. It's a blessing to learn that and to grow in that. It's not all about me. And in fact, if I shift in my life, and my prayer life is very much a part of this, I shift from being self-centered to God-centered, I become more free, more blessed, to leave behind a self-centered life and a self-centered way of praying to a more God-centered way. Actually coming to a place where I want to know what God wants and I'm wanting to do His will. See, this is aligning myself more with God. The more and more I'm coming to His presence, the more and more I want to know His will, the more I want to hear His voice, the more I'm aligning myself with Him. And in this sense, I'm becoming a true ambassador of God on earth. We're called to be ambassadors of God, to represent Him here on earth. I'm called to represent God and His kingdom here on earth. You know, the Bible says that we're co-laborers with Him. See, He chose that. We're co-laborers with Him, and our prayer life is part of that labor. How we pray, how we're praying the will of God, how we're praying the heart of God, how we're hearing His voice and obediently following. We're being co-laborers with God. And just so you know, God's in upper management. We're not. He could choose to do it without us, but in the mystery of what He has chosen in His divine will, He's chosen not to just do things by Himself. He's chosen to corporate His church in running this universe and in running this earth. So we're not here just to go to Disneyland, right? We know that. We're not just here to go to Disneyland. We're not just here to enjoy the things of this earth and then go on. But we're co-laborers with God for His kingdom, to see His kingdom come on the earth. So I pray. I spend time in His presence. I want to know His will. And when I hear His voice, I want to be obedient. This has not always been my position of prayer. It's not always been how I see prayer. I know what it's like to be very selfish and self-focused. I've prayed many of those prayers. And it's okay. God wants to answer our prayers. But then I want to be a part of what He wants to do. And I want to come before Him with faith and boldness. You know, when you know God, you've been in His presence, you can pray bold prayers. Absolutely bold prayers. There's a story, kind of end on this story. Well-known evangelistic pastor shared this story of an outreach they were doing in South Carolina. Evangelistic outreach in the University of South Carolina, their football stadium. Had been planned, had been organized. They were to have 15,000 to 20,000 people show up at the stadium to hear the gospel. An hour before, a person who's helping with this comes to the group of committee that were there. They were there at 6 o'clock to pray. They were going to pray. The meeting would start at 7. They were gathering, the planning committee and the people involved were gathering to pray. And they get this word that a storm was coming, a big storm was coming. And it would come and be there at 7 o'clock. Lightning, storms, it would just ruin everything. And so there they started to pray. They started to pray. Now the pastor said that the pastors were praying, those who were there, they started praying. And they said they prayed safe prayers. God, we ask that your will be done tonight. That your will be accomplished tonight. And they prayed that things would happen and take place like normal. But there was one lady who wasn't quite satisfied with the prayer at that time. So when the prayer has seemed to come to an end, this 5'1" little old lady stands up, had been part of the planning and local person part of the planning, stands up and says, "Can I pray?" I said, "Well, sure. Sure, we need all the prayer we can get. So go ahead, pray." She started to pray. Lord God, it is your will that this outreach take place tonight. Lord God, we've worked hard. We've been obedient because we know it is your will to share the gospel. And we're here to share our gospel. We've worked hard. We've spent money. We've done everything that we can do to make sure that this outreach takes place. Because God, we want the people to hear the gospel message. And then she just went. She went overboard. She said, "Lord God, I command you to send this storm another way." And she continued her prayer. But that was the gist of her prayer. And the pastor said, he just about fell out of his seat when she said that. Because she certainly thought, like, "Oh Lord God, where's the lightning going to come from now? Going to come on this woman." But God heard those prayers and God accepted those bold prayers. It wasn't that she could just command God, but here was this bold prayer. And then during the time, they got there at 7 o'clock. At 7 o'clock, the meeting started. And it was sprinkling. It was drizzling. And they could see in the distance this dark, dark cloud. They could see thunder. They could hear thunder. And it was coming. It was coming right at the stadium. Umbrellas started going up. Some people started walking out. Because there was an announcement made, we will go as long as we can go. But if the storm comes, we're going to have to stop things. And literally the pastor said he watched. He watched that storm come to the stadium. It literally split right and it split left. And there was no storm in the stadium. The clouds went around them and they formed back together on the other side of the stadium. They had the meeting that night and they shared the gospel with 15 to 20,000 people. We don't realize what's possible with God. But this 5'1" lady did. And she was not going to take no for an answer. So she held on to it with grit. And I think somewhere along the line, she knew the heart of God. The heart of God is that people hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and are saved. And Lord, we're not going to let a storm keep that from happening. I think sometimes we just need to absolutely get gritty. But you know what? You can't have that kind of bold prayer unless you know God. Unless you're intimate with Him. Unless you spend time in His presence and you know the heart of God. You know the will of God. You know the Word of God. And sometimes we pray, "Lord God, what is your will? Make it clear. Show us in your Word. Speak to us." But then when we know God's will, we're not to be wishy-washy. Because wishy-washy Christians don't have very effectual prayers. We need to pray knowing that our God can do even the impossible. So what do we do? Think of this week, think about your approach to prayer, your approach to your time with God. Do you know that you belong to God and can approach Him in confidence? Do you know that? Without a shadow of a doubt. Do you pray from a righteous standing with God? That you're the righteousness of God. That you have a place before Him, to come before Him, that He wants to hear your prayers. Is there any sin in your life that you need to bring before God and confess it and be free from that and be cleansed? Is your prayer life relational? Do you want to know God's heart and pray according to His will? Do you listen for His voice? And are you ready when you hear His voice to obey His voice? Sometimes that's why we don't hear God, because we're not ready to obey God. And we sometimes honestly rather not hear God because we're afraid that we might have to obey God. So if we can deal with that part of us, I think we'll hear God even more. We say, yes, Lord, I'm ready. Is my prayer time with God shaping my walk with Him? Is it changing me? Is it growing me as a disciple who has deeper communion with my Savior? Think about your time of prayer this week. I'm praying that you individually and us as a church will become more effectual in our prayers. Our time of prayer will be powerful to shape and focus each one of us towards the heart of God.